as Penny reads this, keep in mind that we're not looking for, we're looking for feedback. We're not looking for better ideas. And I think that that is a critical distinction, especially for this group of people. Okay, so shall we have a little 10 minutes on the difference between those two? Okay, who would start off our little discussion? Dave?
Well, I think what you guys really need to be doing is really going in a different new direction, where you you sell wine and olive oil.
That is a perfect example of a better idea. Tell you the truth, I've actually thought of it myself. I've also thought that this place would be a great place for weddings. Yeah, if we ever just, you know, want to move to a better internet service location and use this just for that time. Jen?
Well, it's an example of the same thing. A concrete example where we sent out an email earlier in the week and said, ask for feedback about, you know, we're just wondering, there aren't that many sign-ups for the March 21 workshop. And most people sent back feedback. You know, well, I'd love to, but, you know, with my kids in the house, it's awkward, or I have another thing going on, or, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then we had a few that were in the better ideas category. Like, one person took the opportunity to tell us, you know, what you need to do is go through your finances line by line. And things like, you buy this certain brand of cheese, and what you need to do is buy this other brand of cheese. And then that would...
And trust me, that's not an isolated example. That's why in every email I send out now, I try to emphasize, your ideas are something you will do. Okay. One person sent in, like, close to 3 pages on how we can sell things on eBay. You know, all you need to do is, and it's like, do we need another full-time job? Pardon me, could you? Great, would you do that for her? I mean, she actually already does it. That's what she does. It's like, so, yeah.
So in this
better ideas.
Yeah, in this case, the email that Penny will read in a minute is an email that's going out to everyone. And so feedback might look something like, because if we can't know, we're not people out in the world, so we don't have that perspective. So if someone's out in the world and, oh, well, you know, that point wasn't quite clear to me, if you made that point. You know, things like that.
I kind of went like that on that line.
Yeah, right.
That feels harsh for her.
Exactly.
Whatever it is, but it's your experience rather than, oh, well, I think it would be, and then whether it's olive oil and wine or, buying different cheese or starting an eBay business, it's what we really need is, well, you'll hear what one person did going through practice and having a practice experience in relation to it. So, yeah.
The way it's kind of the opposite of solicitation. You know, it doesn't put it back on you, it's all about the receiver.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And of course, we look at it. Just one second. We understand. June edits for me, and the thing that I said to her this morning is that she what makes her good at what she does for me is that she has managed to maintain the ability to know what things sound like to people who live in the world. That is so far gone from my experience. There's just no relationship. So all I do is say what I see, and I say it in the way that inspires me. If other people hear it, see it that way, then they'll have the same experience. If not, they won't. If they're doing this practice, then they will either like it and feel good, or dislike it and not feel good. In either case, hopefully they will use it as a way to look inward to see what's going on with them. So that's why this, because truly, I don't know. June has, you know, her take on it, and so I would like to hear what other people who are somewhere between those two worlds experience it as. Yeah, Michael.
Better ideas often make a lot of sense to me.
Oh, yeah! Yeah!
And an example, a big example is the new energy through left passed through right. So my idea is to lightly close the hand and the toes. So then, the palms and bottom of the foot.
And then, when at age 30, you're hobbling
around. If someone really thinks that we should do that.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. When we hear something from our conditioning that really resonates with our conditioning, we feel right. Okay? God is in heaven and all is right in the world. And that very experience is one that we are strongly attempting to go beyond in practice. Because when we talk about listening to the authority, you know, the fantasy of authority, that's it. That's where people look for guidance. That's where they get information. That's how they know they're doing the right thing. And it is exactly 180 degrees in the wrong direction. So that's why better ideas, the whole subject of better ideas, is such a good deal in this practice. You know, in a lot of practices, better ideas are, well, in the world, better ideas are called initiative. Okay? And in most practice places, they're called, we can use you. Okay? Because you're going to be somebody who will go out and take something on, and we don't have to bother about you. Okay? So, you know, if you go to most places to do practice, you will be asked what your skills are. And they're not going to ask you that so they can do the opposite, which is why we would be asking. They're doing it because if you're, you know, if you have computer skills, good. We've got a computer department we need you in. If you've got, you know, so taking, you know, it's very hard when you're getting support for conditioning to recognize conditioning for what it is and then to take the step of letting it go. It's really quite terrifying because, as we know, what we're turning to is something that people don't know they have a familiar relationship with. Mm-hmm. So it feels to most people in the beginning like I'm going to let go of my security blanket and step off a cliff. So that combination is difficult for most people. And it requires a great deal of support. And part of what this is about, the vast majority of people walking on this earth would never make a choice like this in this lifetime. That's not to say they wouldn't make a choice like this, like what I'm describing. You know, let go of ego, choose life. They might make that in some lifetime if we all last long enough, not us personally, but as a species. I suspect that all people will. That's the Bodhisattva vow. You know, we're not going to enter nirvana until all beings have entered. So, you know, there is sort of a spiritual idea that this is going to go on for a while. In the short term, no. Because, now again, you know, you've been doing this for a lot of years. And witnessing it for even more years than that. People will get to a certain point, conditioning freaks out. They're gone. Mm-hmm. Conditioning presents them with something else that seems just as good, probably better, actually. And isn't so hard. Okay? And if we're used to, well, if the left hand works, then think what we can accomplish if we add the left foot. if we're used to following the logic and the guidance of conditioned mind, then when presented with that, a flag won't go up that says, whoa, wait a minute, what am I listening to here? We're just going to say, oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So the thing is that just for everybody, a little words to the wise, never go for the thing that makes sense. Never, ever choose the thing that makes sense. Always go for the one that you have to get. Like that. Okay? Until you've got that, until it's that, you don't have it. Dave, and then Therese, and then David, and then we're going to move on.
I was just going to comment that I think that's the reason why it seems like people are confused, or some people are confused or have trouble getting the messages that have been coming up from Monastery recently, or are not stepping up to the plate and contributing. It's because I think people are living in that world that you're talking about. You know, here, all of the, everything around says, you know, look what's going on. You know, look to see where that's coming from. But, you know, people aren't looking at that world most of the time. And so, you know, the message comes up from here, and then by the time it lands out in Cincinnati or someplace through somebody's computer, it's been translated into something completely different. And people, you know, people who do practice seriously, I think, are get that, and they're the ones who are contributing a lot of times. But it feels like, you know, I can tell from the emails that are coming in that sometimes it doesn't land in the context that it came out from, and there's like a leopard.
Well, there is a context where it's landed.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. That's the difficulty. Mm-hmm. And of course, this whole process that we're going through is trying to stay in a conversation about that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that people need to choose this; it's that we need to get clear on who is and who isn't.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's all that's going on. If somebody doesn't want to do this, it's great. But we all need to know that that's what's happening. Yeah, because the days are really over for us where we have the resources to simply indulge conditioning. That's really where we are. It used to be that we would, you know, spend 20 out of 24 hours just mostly in relationship with conditioning. And it's no longer that time. So that's what this conversation is about. And so my only concern ever is, are we doing the best job we can do to make practice available for people? That's all we can do. And sometimes we miss. You know, probably a lot of times we miss. But that's still the best we can do. There's nothing actually in Buddhism that requires us to attempt to save anybody. Remember? You must work out your own salvation diligently. So we are each responsible for our own salvation. And we don't want to interfere with anyone. We don't want to make anything harder for anyone. So, yeah, that's the attempt with this. And the conversation will go on for as long as the conversation goes on. You know, and then it'll go, then whatever will happen next will happen next. You know, there's so much to update then.
Well, as we're talking about this, it really, the better idea to me, I just connected it really with enables the enabler.
Yes, it does. Absolutely.
In so many ways. And I'm just so grateful. Thank you so much for all of this. I mean, it just, I know everything, you know, we hear it when we get out of this. And I just feel so much in relationship to center,
yes,
more than ever.
Yes.
And you know, it's like, who knows how it happened, but drop the conversation. And it's just been incredible.
Yes. And I would really like, as we've said, this group of people and the, you know, the, I don't know, 5 or 10 other people that that we know would do very well in this group and really need to be in this conversation. For us to continue, and not only continue with this kind of conversation that we've been having this week, but also I was looking, and I'm not intending to go anywhere right away. Although we never know. The author wrote, I will go ahead of most of you. Not all of you, but most of you. and I realize when I look at that, because I look at it a lot, and the reason I look at it a lot is the woman that I'm in. You know, I hear a lot about what goes on in people's lives. And I know the dread and the fear that people approach. You know, the Buddha talks about old age, sickness, and death, and my line always is, and you're really lucky if it happens in that order. There's just such a horror for most conditioned people about that whole subject, about and especially about death. And I would really like this group of people to do some work together on that subject, on really moving to a place where practice offers us a lack of anxiety about the future, a sense of confidence about being able to face any life circumstances, and especially death. I put that out just as something that not for anybody. I'd be happy to. I'd be happy to do a death and dying workshop for a group of random people. I truly would. But I want to do some work that doesn't involve. Now, what are some personalities? Okay, I mean, at a certain point, for me as a teacher, it's an act of compassion. A room full of people who know what or have some idea of what I'm talking about, and rather than that, you know, you almost get somewhere I hope people know what I mean by that. I'm not saying we shouldn't, you know, you have to censor what you ask because it might be perceived as a naive. I'm not saying that. It's just that I think the quality that everybody in this room shares is the one that I mentioned. Something happens and I know where I need to look is here. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm kicking and screaming and getting a conversation about, well, that's great! I know ultimately it's got to come back to resolution here. And that's all I mean by that. So, you know, like this week, you know, people have talked about getting kind of seriously identified at different places, and probably some of you were pretty seriously identified and didn't talk about it. But we know that. So we practice, we know that we're going to run into really nasty spots and we're going to get completely identified and, my God. And then we're going to de-practice and we're going to get over it. And we're going to get back on track and we're going to keep going. So that's some work that I would like to, for myself, I would like to begin to do. Because there's a way, I was looking at this morning as a matter of fact, I'm very casual sometimes about things that are frightening to people. And I'm casual about them because they're not scary to me. And that's nice for me. But I would like to expand the circle a little, because how nice for me, but as I said often, it doesn't help anybody else that I don't have a fear of death. I would like everyone to move in their practice to that place. Because moving to a place of a lack of fear of death, you know, you really don't have to worry about what the economy is doing. You don't really have to, you know, all of these things that people are so terrified about
come down to a fear of death. Mm-hmm. And the lack of fear of death comes down to, I'm going to be all right no matter what. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be all right as long as there is an I who needs to be all right. And when there isn't any longer, all that's going to be left is all that is, and there is no doubt about its all-rightness. So to have that experience, to know that place, offers not only a comfort that is the point, really, of what the Buddha taught, but it also conveys an authority. You know, it is that place of knowing at the deepest level it's all God. There aren't any mistakes, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing that's going to happen to anybody that is not a part of a very compassionate and ultimately benign reality.
Well, that just, and I was, as you were saying all this about death too, I project that people are afraid not just of themselves dying, but of other people.
Oh.
So that sense of, and it just comes back to here again, if everything will be all right.
Yes.
And there was a Zen story too about, you know, death and how it's simply just washing your cup, you know, and then putting it in the tray to dry. I have to go back and look at it, but
yeah.
Because when my friend Judith died, there was something around that. Like, she had just come to peace with so many things,
yes,
that all, simply her, sort of, her death was just drying the cup.
Yes. And it's a gift to be with someone,
right,
when they're in that place. And it is a horror to be with someone when they are not.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all want to be in that place, mm-hmm, for ourselves and for anyone who might like to make use of us.
Well, thanks for that. That was really helpful. Getting back to the idea of better ideas and feedback, I was kind of looking at that in the context of being a contribution, participating. Definitely got identified in the last couple of days pretty severely with that whole notion of how to be a contribution. What I'm noticing with that, when the conversation has happened this morning, is the pressure that is being kind of in this dialogue to be a contribution, that's the person who's believing it into such a space that the only place to look is to more condition. And then so this is how you could be a contribution, comes directly from condition, which there's the awareness that that's not going to work.
That deep intuitive sense is actually going to be a contribution.
And then it loops around again to the point of like, well, if you want to say it. And then there's the, you know, kind of a sweet takeover. It's that small person again, and you know, kind of pulling out all the mentor trips in, and everybody shared so much this week. I mean, I was kind of passing it all last night. And just this huge wave of, the stuff or whatever. I don't want to go into it, but just that whole sense of just really, really wanting to be a contribution, really, really wanting to participate in all of this, and kind of recognizing that, as I mentioned earlier in the week, and I don't mean to sound crass about it at all, but seeing this is like one set of content. And then, of course, when I move forward, there's going to be other sets of content. So kind of seeing the wanting to participate and be a contribution and really show up, not in terms of just this is the content, but just in my life and in life in general. Mm-hmm. And, I'm kind of just kind of backed up in that space.
Well, if I may break a fundamental association rule, I've heard a rumor, actually, that there's a project that you might be engaging in that would be a tremendous contribution.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I, you know, that really came up for me. And I knew that was there, and I know that I'm going to get involved with that. Like, there's absolutely no, there's no confusion on that at all. And yet it felt, when I kept, of course, I kept looking at conditioning to see if maybe that would be something that I could put forward. It was like, no, that's not, that wasn't, yeah.
And, the project, it's a blog about a life experience that you're having. Is that fair?
That's correct.
Yeah. And the beauty of it is, what makes it so perfect, is that it's a format for you being able to articulate everything that's going on. Not just specific pieces of information, not conditioning's idea about how this should look or how this should happen. Because what conditioning is doing to you is one of the really essential parts of the story. You with me?
I'm lost on what you
mean. That's okay, it's being recorded. So, but I'll say that. Yeah. I'm going to do that. I'm going to blog about an experience in my life. And as I'm writing, conditioning is going to say, you can't say that. That's not it. You can't say that. People are going to think you're crazy. You can't say. And what you're going to do is write all that. Which is going to be as helpful to people as what it is that you're writing about. Mm-hmm. Because that whole thing is what everybody goes through.
Yeah. No, I'm absolutely exposing all of it.
Mm-hmm. And what it will do for you, of course, is get it out of here and into there. And, is it going to be intense? Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that is the last thing in the world that conditioning ever, its whole thing is set up to avoid an experience like that, of being revealed in that way. Because as we know, it only has power because it remains in the shadows and scares the poop out of people. So to just lay it all out there,
thank you for that.
Yeah. Just stay in touch. It's not going to be easy. Okay. Actually, I'm going to ask Tracy, and then, truly, honest to Buddha, we are moving on.
It's amazing, this whole thing on transitions. It's been, like, really heightened for me. And this whole notion of, like, that space between, like, I'm identified with here, like, you know, I'm identified with one queen in my hermitage, and then, you know, you're kind of, and it's like, what is it that's so tricky about it? And it's like this sense of, like, you don't really know who you are, you know, kind of losing it. And there's something that I really want to say, because I never talk about it. A couple of weeks after Luke died, I was here at the tree, and a friend of mine who had anorexia died while I was here. And it was like I could kind of see when she kind of was choosing survival system. So it was like it was okay, you know, with Luke, he was kind of, you know, he just, his body just gave up, and it was okay. And then about 2 weeks went by. My brother came up for And Nephi from Luke time, it was okay because I had this, like, I had this little kitty that followed me everywhere. And my brother's taught attacking kill the elder. Right in front of two of us. And I'll talk about it because I don't want anybody who's in conditioned mind to, you know, talking about it. And so there's grief because I really miss her because it was such a surprise. What I know is that I was there for all of it, every second of it. And it was so horrible seeing. And I mean, what wasn't my fault? So out of my control. It was, there's nothing anybody could do. And so I think about that out of control place. And I think if I can just keep being there, that even though I see so much is out of my control, I'm not going to go to a place of feeling bad. And I know it's not my fault. And so, you know, talking about that whole thing of transitions and death, and there's still grief, you know. I mean, it's funny because it's like, I keep saying, don't go there, because, like, I don't want to talk to people about it, because I don't want them to say, like, well, you know, should you have done this, or should you have done that, and I don't want to go there, because it just, you know, the whole thing was such a surprise. And, so I think about that in transitions. And thanks for just letting me say this, because it just feels good to just talk about, because some of my family members don't even know. And it's just too hard, you know. But I think, like, this whole week, it just, so many pieces are coming together, and it's like, if I could just be there, then there's not going to be anybody to beat up. Because I know it's not, there's nothing I could do. And so much of life is like that.
Yes, I would say all of life is like that.
Yeah, and, but as soon as we slip off, you know, into, you know, I mean, there's a second, like, she jumped to me, and he got there so fast, and I mean, if I would have even gone to, like, I'm the caretaker, you know, I'm responsible, she came to me, but it's like, I couldn't, it happened so fast. And so, you know, I even tried calling into the radio shop, it happened because I was actually mad, I was, like, angry at practice, because I was like, God, you know, it's like, why would you want to be present with something so horrible? And even that sort of grief and the loss, and, you know, I have this faith that everything's going to be okay. It's like, why would you take the two things that brought me so much joy away, you know, within the same month? And then I'm glad I think an honorary bishop, because, I mean, now I just see, like, you know, the blessings, but always, like, when you picture, like, what's the most horrible thing that can happen, you know, and then know that if you're there, it's like there's some sense of, like, it's not okay, but it's like, I was there, you know, so there's no residual, there's no, like, suffering,
yes.
Like, there's pain,
yes.
But there's no suffering.
Yes. And what an important lesson to have to put to rest that idea that you do have control, that if you had only, if this had, if, because you, what, to get this, that will take aid you, is, no, actually don't have any control.
Yeah.
And so there's no sense in resurrecting that in some other moment, where conditioning can come in and say, yeah, but it's your fault because you should have, because you know but that's not true.
I know, it's actually, you know, it's funny because even I thought in this routine, you know, the interesting karma is that, you know, maybe, I mean, who knows? Maybe, who knows what'll happen, but, you know, maybe she jumped because she wanted me to get that it wasn't. Because, you know, I had a trauma when I was a little girl, and I was like, I would never take care of another animal because something bad can happen, you know, and all the animals I have, including Luke, wasn't mine to begin with. You know, and so it was almost this, like, this cycle.
People keep
and then, you know, I thought, God, you know, who knows, maybe it was her thing of just, like, I'm sacrificing my life, you can get this, but it's just not your fault, this crazy stuff happens, you know?
But, yeah, you know, I try not to get into belief systems, but, and I don't, but that one is not hard for me to imagine as a perfectly viable explanation of what everything that goes on.
Yeah.
It truly, however that all goes together, it's really just too perfect.
Yeah.
It really is just too perfect. The things that, a couple of days ago, everybody has the best seat. Remember that one? I mean, you know, everybody rails against their life circumstances when it's not the way they want them to be, and everybody is having the exact perfect life circumstances for what they need to see, embrace, let go.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how life works that way, but it certainly seems to.
Yeah, you know, you're right, and it's like, God, I never would have picked this, because it wasn't fun. But it is a sense that, you know, it's like, you know, we can just, like, yeah, do the best we can, and, you know, show up as present as we can, and this, all this crazy stuff can happen, you know.
Yeah, we had actually had one of those this morning. I spoke with Jen briefly, and Veronica, who knows Veronica. So she had her C-section, and she had a little got the infection, went to the bad side of the hospital, right? We got her into the good side of the hospital. Her husband, in his infinite wisdom, decided that she's actually bewitched.
Okay.
Took her out of the hospital and is going to take her to a witch doctor. You know, I just go to this, what I wrote to Jen was something along the lines of, it's sometimes it's hard to be a good sport and keep a perspective in the face of human insanity. You know, I mean, it just is. It's just over and over and over, you know? I mean, I don't know if you want to take, kill your brother, or if that's just my reaction to life.
You know, what was so amazing is, like, all I felt like I could say to myself, like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. And it's what I said to him, like, I'm so sorry, because I knew that it wasn't his fault either, you know? It was just, the whole thing was so out of control.
Yes.
And so that's really, I actually did it, you know? And I was all I said, I'm just sorry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry for all this. Everything happened here in the same house at the same time.
And that's kind of where I got to this morning with the thing with Veronica. You know, there's a part of me that just, you know, wants to call him names.
Yeah.
And part of me then wants to call her names for being in relationship with somebody so deserving of being called names. And then there's just kind of a, what are we going to do? You know, the only thing left at the end of all of this is love. It's, you know, it seems like it's our only choice. It just occurred to me that maybe love is what we find when all the expectations are gone.
Mm-hmm.
When nothing should be any different from the way it is, then that's what we find.
Thank you, Casey. Thanks for listening.
Anytime. Anytime. Now, see, I think we should wait on that. People's hearts are too open. We have to talk them into a more I'm sort of kidding and sort of not. So let's hold off on that for a minute. What else is on our agenda for today? Oh, I know one thing I wanted to say. You know, with all my nonsense about difficult people and I hope what you get out of that is that, well, several times actually. It's okay to have a sense of humor. In fact, it's essential. You know, even if you don't let anybody else know that you can see the humor in it, don't ever lose it for yourself. You know, just by and large, you know, so much of what we, you know, in the face of the kinds of things that we look at here, so much of what we do and suffer over is just plain silly. You know, it really is. You're probably not, I'm not going to say that. You're not going to do irreparable damage to anybody. Okay? You're just not. It's perfectly fine to say, I don't know. Channel Sarah Palin. I'll get back to you. you can say I'm sorry. Sorry. If you know, if you've really said or done something that you get it was not a good thing, saying I'm sorry, I missed that completely, or I was off the mark, or whatever. So mostly with this week, to be using those basic tools that you have, stick with those. And then if you get into a bad situation, do the best you can and know that you're going to use it as a training opportunity. You know, you'll probably survive it. You will make it out of the room. You can get support. And above all, you know, don't let this ever give you an assessment. So that's what I hope people got from this week, the bottom line on facilitation skills and techniques.
Now, and often during this week, what has come up for me in the context of this retreat are new paradigm and guidelines for living confessions that in no way speak to what we've been doing, which is through practice and loss of presence.
Yes, our new living compassion paradigm.
And the guidelines are take care, bring it to the scene, and enjoy the ride.
So did we put those out to people? Okay, so that might be a good thing for people to kind of jot down or for us to send out to folks, because mm-hmm. if everybody hangs it on the front of their computer screen, then we will all, or wherever, those of you who don't have a computer screen, you know, put it somewhere where it's in the front of your conscious awareness. They really do speak to this. That's great.
And the other thing that came to me this morning was that what it felt like to me is what this week has been about is that we really are being asked to really facilitate this practice in any way that we can in any situations that we're in. That mm-hmm. it's not just about having a group and practicing this, but just listening that it feels like we're really being asked to, you know, have practice as what our being is in the world.
Yes.
In every moment.
Yes, people of practice, people of peace.
Yeah, Jane. I was sort of going to what you were speaking about death and dying, you know, like this group. Along with the same thoughts of that, I'm wondering if it's
part of me is concerned, conditioning family members finally to, you know, who's going with. But it feels like having a listening buddy among this group to go beyond reflecting, the possibility of going beyond reflecting, that I was
trying to be
supportive. Because the conference, and I've called them several times for radio show, and then I, you know, just perform, just perform. And that's a wonderful way that, you know, it doesn't matter, it's all good. But to have this group would be just a blessing.
Yeah, that is such a good idea and such a good point, because one of the big struggles, and it's something that it would be good for us to talk about, because the little parable that I offer you, wow, you drink Diet Coke. That doesn't seem very Buddhist. Always from an authority on Buddhism. So I think as you are out there more, you can expect more of that kind of thing. So you might think about how you want to respond to that. But part of it is putting oneself in a position of being honest about what's going on when there's somebody that you're talking to who you know is judging where you are in practice based on what you're talking about. So we'll get that here. We'll get it at a TINW. I mean, people who literally just fell off the pumpkin truck. The response is, well, geez, what's the point of doing this practice when, I mean, monks have been doing it for years and look where they are. And it's like, somewhere that you can't even imagine. So to have a place where people can authentically talk about what's going on with them and be reflected and not have the other person thinking, geez, she's been doing that for 20 years. She's still struggling with that. Would be a relief.
And I want to throw in with that. I'm happy to take responsibility for, I mean, I mean
for organizing it. For organizing it. Excellent. So we'll get email addresses.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people aren't going to send anything out to the email address group without authorization. But you can let people know that that's the case. Let it be known that she's in a particularly stressful time in work life and would like some extra support, and ask the board for reflective listening buddies. And I think you have like 7 or 8.
I'm the richest gal in the world.
I think that's an excellent idea, and we can make that happen.
Okay. So if there could just be a month to coordinate. I mean, really, we check in with everything.
And so probably it's just a registration office, and we'll get the, you know, put the email addresses for everybody, and then if people want a buddy, you know, that we can just do first one, second one, third one, fourth one, you know.
RCDLB.